10 years ago, on September 14, 2001, communities around the U.S. held a day of remembrance for those who died in the September 11th terror attacks. It was on this day that University of Idaho professor Gary Maclis stood before an auditorium full of fellow faculty members and students and shared his thoughts about what 9/11 meant.
But now we, and here I mean your generation of Americans, know something new and terrible. We know what it means to be attacked without warning. We know what it means to witness horrors that bring tears to the eyes of the hardened. We know what it means to be frightened for the safety of our loved ones, and we know what it means to feel the stirrings of revenge and retribution, hatred and fury, all those preparations for war that are both material and psychological.
Maclis is still a professor in the College of Natural Resources at the University of Idaho, but right now he's not teaching. He's currently the science advisor to the director of the National Park Service in Washington, D.C. A day after the September 11th attacks, a group of students came to him searching for advice about how to deal with life after 9/11.
They were a bit adrift, trying to figure out how to respond, trying to get different points of view. And I think they came to me as a faculty member who had a reasonably wide worldview. Many of them had taken classes from me. And frankly, I was an older fellow, and they thought perhaps this older fellow might have something that could help them grapple with the attack.
I talked with Maclis about his speech and asked him why he thought students felt adrift.
For many of these young students, a freshman in college, their first time away from home, seniors who had been through a college experience, graduate students, this was the first time they experienced an attack on their homeland, experienced a tragedy like this, and because of our times, experienced it so directly, even thousands of miles away in Idaho, because of the ability to witness over and over that day on television the falling of the towers. And so I think they were adrift because this was a new experience to them, and I saw part of my role is linking them to the broader human condition and broader American history.
You said earlier that you're an old guy. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Not a bit. I'm 61. 10 years ago, there were senior faculty throughout the College of Natural Resources, and I, again, think they gravitated to one of the senior faculty to get a perspective.
Did it make you nervous when students asked you to deliver your remarks?
I was very nervous when they asked me, and then it was a kind of reprieve from the immediate aftermath because I had to focus my attention on what I could say to them that could be of help and comfort to them. Once we started, I wasn't nervous because I was just a conduit for some ideas that they needed to hear.
As an educator and someone from whom students were clearly seeking answers, maybe an explanation, do you think you fulfilled their needs?
Oh, you would have to ask them. It's very difficult to go into another person's heart or soul and understand what worked. I did my job as they asked. Afterwards, there wasn't a discussion. There wasn't a debate. There weren't lots of hands raised with questions. It was far too serious for that.
In your remarks, you address the students in terms of their generation. How do you think these events affected this particular generation of students?
First off, it linked them to other generations of Americans who faced tragedy and a change in life. And I think that there is now something that unites this generation who lived through 9/11 with other generations that lived through challenges. The second is I think it altered for many of them their worldview on what is important and what is not, on how to treat other peoples, on how to live one's daily life, whether it's flying in an airplane through the security of an airport or dealing with very alerts and information in the news. So I think it not only linked them to the past, it has changed the way they will approach the future.
After speaking on September 14th, 2001, did you ever revisit what you had said?
No, I remember after giving the talk and sort of decompressing with after talking to some of the students, I went for a long walk on the University of Idaho campus and then went back to my regular work and filed the speech away. Perhaps in the last 10 years, I've thought about it four or five times, but never dug it out. And it was not until you contacted me that I realized, well, I should go back and read. What was I thinking back then?
Is there a phrase or a particular section that resonates most strongly with you?
When I look at it, there's a few. And at the beginning of the speech, I linked how, quote, our sorrow links us to the broader human condition. And I said, such sorrow, sadly so, is commonplace in human history. We mourn what are to us unimaginable losses. More Americans, along with international victims, died in the attack than in the first day of that bloody battle of Antietam during the Civil War. And that strikes me now because, again, I'm involved with the National Park Service. This is the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. And Antietam was September 17th, 1862. So 150 years later, we link our remembrance of the American Civil War with this particular element of our history. So that was one. The other is this argument that the defense of freedom begins with citizens armed with knowledge. I think that remains important. And then there was a section that we have to remind ourselves that other generations of Americans have faced monsters and survived with their souls changed but intact. Because I tried to give the students a sense of hope. I said, quote, most of the American GIs that fought the Nazis returned to the U.S. and built homes. They worked on farms, fell in love, raised families, and lived lives of American normalcy and tradition.
In your words, you call yourself a naturalist of an extraordinary species, and you're referring to us, Homo sapiens. It doesn't seem like the events of September 11th, 2001 changed your view of people. But did the attack change your perspective with respect to your work as an ecologist?
Yes, it did, in a very significant way. After 9/11, and not immediately, I began to question the limitations on ecology and human ecology, my particular area of work, focusing on local issues, issues of conservation, issues of environmental protection. And I began to see that ecology had opportunity and responsibility to apply itself to much bigger and more wicked problems. So I began to study and learn as best I could how ecology might be useful in understanding, for example, warfare, war preparation, violent conflict that includes terrorism, and post-war restoration and recovery, humanitarian relief. And all of that effort, which has led to a whole new set of work for me, emanates in part from how 9/11 made me see my work in a different way.